World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, just trying to figure out just where the heck time goes, huh? Just I'm reading something right here real quickly. Hang on, let me get this into my system here. Where's time go? Where's time go? I had the opportunity. That's not the right word to use. Former coach, a guy coached with me at London High School back. I left London High School. Last year, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997. Went through a two-year battle with the ACLU. My last year of coaching in London, Ohio, was 1999. The football season, 1999. I don't know about you. Can anybody do math? 1999. That would be 25 years ago. Is that something? 25 years ago. And to take. No, I think I heard my wife yell at me or something. Take a peek over your shoulder. Look back at your life. They say in the end, it's a wink of an eye. Life is a vapor. It's here. And then it's gone. And had an opportunity. Cookie Cunningham, Richard Cunningham, guy that coached our junior high football the whole time I was at London, passed away this last weekend. I hadn't seen Cookie in forever. So Michelle and I went to the funeral home yesterday. Ran into his wife, ran into a few other people. I just realized that, again, for all of us, I'm talking to all of you out there, the impact that you can have, impact you as an individual can have on others' lives is almost immeasurable. It's really immeasurable. But one of the problems I think we're dealing with, I'm going to get into some of this here today, bear with me, is... We really, in our churches, we really don't teach people how to evangelize. We maybe ask them to come to our church. But those of us who are what you would call street evangelists, I don't even like to use that term, but by street evangelist, I think we're talking about somebody who takes the gospel outside the building. Street evangelists. Street evangelism. It's pretty rare, you know? In fact, street evangelism, they kind of make fun of those guys. Oh, he's a street preacher. As opposed to a church preacher, I guess. I mean, it seems to me that the street evangelist is preaching to people who aren't in church, the lost, and the pastor, the church preacher, is preaching to those who are already found. Although we would find out that those sitting in the church, many of them aren't found. They're simply for religious tradition. I'm going to try to dive into that a little bit here today. And I was just 25 years later, to go back at that funeral and look at London and what it had become. God, I just realized the seeds that you sow into the life of someone grow in ways that you can, that we don't even know. One man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And I'm constantly reminded of my own life and my wife, Michelle, before we fell asleep last night, we were up pretty late last night for us, like almost 10:30 maybe. A little bit of pillow talk before I went to sleep. She mentioned something about, golly, you know, we used to go to the streets a lot more than we do. Something along that line. I can't remember exactly how she framed it. And I looked and I thought, man, boy, is that ever true? Is that ever true? I think a lot of it happened because of COVID. COVID scared people back. By the way, that's what I think the whole purpose of COVID was to scare us out of the public square. If you remember what was going on, J6 and all that kind of stuff, right? And everybody was on the march to Washington, and then all of a sudden, boom, COVID shows up. And then you're not allowed to assemble anymore. In fact, you had to wear masks. You had to 6 foot sit. It's all part of this anti-Christian evangelism thing, I think. And I just, Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. And I was thinking again yesterday, I was kind of driving home talking to my buddy Coach Norm, who, by the way, Coach Norm is going to join me. I'm sitting in for Rob Pugh tonight. And Coach Norm, my best friend in the whole world, is going to be my guest tonight on Rob Pugh's show as we sit in with it. See if you can find that with Spencer. I'm sorry, I don't have that ready to go here. Anyway, deep relationships that we build with one another. And I wonder if all of us were to take an assessment right now, how many of you have a deep relationship with a fellow Christian, a deep one? You know, we have men's breakfasts at our church, but they're really pretty shallow for the most part. And the only way that you really build a bond with another man, this is my experience, is you got to go through the war together. That's why guys who are football, high school football players, coaches, they have this deep, deep bond after 20, after 25 years, however long it would be, they have this deep bond. Because there's something that happens when you're in the battle together. Something happens. And it's one of the things that I think is really hindering the American church is we don't take our men to war anymore. We don't take men to war. That's where I cut my teeth out in front of the gay bar, out in front of the abortion clinic, out in front of the mosque. Something that happens inside of you when you actually have to take your faith and use it to engage in the culture. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know why. I don't do it as much as I used to do it. And Michelle kicked me in the butt the other day and says, we got to get back out there. They're still killing babies. They're still indoctrinating our children in transgenderism and homosex and all that stuff. And whether we want to admit it or not, it's our fault. When's the last really strong evangelism class that you had at your church? Oh, wait, somebody tell me. Where the pastor got a group of you together and trained and equipped and mobilized you and took you outside the four walls of the church other than to feed people or give them book bags or give them bread. That you took your pastor, said, okay, this week we're sick and tired of the transgenderism being taught in our public schools, and we are going to go outside the public school, and we're going to stand out there, and we're going to hold signs, and we're going to call our schools to account. Is that ever done? Has that happened to the church where you go? Why doesn't it? If we're told to go, Ray does it. That's one of the things, if I can pat myself on the back, that I'm most proud about here, is there are people who are engaged here. Betty goes and does it. Ray goes and does it. Dave Allison's going to do it. Randy's going to do it. I can run down a litany of people who are actively involved in taking their faith outside the four walls of the church. Why is that so foreign? Why is that so foreign? To go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Why don't we do that? So we look around at what's going on in the culture and what's going on in society, and the reality of it is it's all going on, as I've said many a times, with the permission of the local church. And the local pastor will say, we don't mix religion and politics, so therefore we leave politics to the ungodly. And then we have the ungodly ruling over us, taxing us into oblivion, taking money from you that you would never spend on your own towards the projects that they spend it on. And it's because the Christians have pulled away. Christians aren't involved in the culture. Christians don't mix religion and politics. And as a result, we have a secular, lost government. We are governed, all of us are governed, folks, by non-Christians. Now, wait a minute. maybe every once in a while, a Christian will pop his head up somewhere and get hit with a whack-a-mole. But for the most part, hey, Spencer, that would be really good. I don't know. David R. said his pastor's running for city council. Hallelujah. Hey, Spencer, Google this. How many U.S. representatives are Christian, claim to be Christian? How many U.S. representatives claim to be Christian? Just curious. It's thinking for us here. It says 370 members of the House are identified. You believe that, folks? Do you believe the 370 members, 85% of our representatives are Christian? Do you believe that? Come on, tell me you don't. Yeah, huh? So in other words, we have a majority, but we're in a fact. How about that? Look at that. 233 members are Protestants. Whatever the hell that means. Catholics are 122 members, six more Mormons, and multi-member representatives in the single digits, and one Messianic Jewish. Time out a minute. The hell does that mean? As far as I can tell, I'm a Messianic Melungeon. I'm a Messianic Catholic. I'm a Messianic white boy. What do you mean Messianic? Do you see what they do to us? Are you picking it up yet? Right? So even in what they would tell us, the 370 members of the House of Representatives, they don't all agree. They don't all agree. You can call yourself Christian. Remember my buddy Eric Peterson in high school? Yeah, not long ago, I remember. He said, here's the difference, boys. We got to be like vitamins. We got to be one. We got to be one. Say, what do you mean be one? Whatever. Whatever it is, you are be one. Will you be one? But we don't know what it means to be one anymore. I'm heading somewhere. Hang in there with me. And that's one of the, I was reminded this yesterday when I went back to the viewing of Cookie Cunningham, of all the many, 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 many seeds, God, that I'd planted in that town. Wow. I wonder how many of them bloomed, how many of them grew. What's the record of your life? What's when you look back at the end of your when I'm laying in my casket there, and you know how it is at funerals, everybody comes along, they say the nice things about you, and they hug your wife, and laying in that casket, what earthly worldly things are really gonna matter? What's really gonna matter? How many lives you changed? That's what's really gonna matter, isn't it? How many people, how strongly really you represented the Lord? Were you a secret service Christian? Were you one of those 370 members of the House of Representatives, 370 members who are Christian who can't end abortion? What? 370 members of Congress who can't stop the indoctrination of our children in homosex and transgender? They can't do it, 370 of them? Well, there's only one answer. They're not all Christian. They're not all Christians. Or there's some kind of Christianity where they've been taught, don't judge, and who are you to judge? And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And don't criticize anybody, don't judge anybody, just love everybody. And let me hang there a second. Let me hang right there a second. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody right now. I was one of those guys. I got married in a Catholic church, Michelle and I. We got married in a Catholic church, big church downtown. When was that, honey? 79, maybe, 1979. If you'd asked me if I was a Christian, I was a Christian. Heck yeah, I was Catholic. Went to church. Well, not regularly, but I was a Christian. I knew nothing about the Bible. I'd never done anything ever to publicly live out my faith, ever, ever, ever. And yet, somehow, I guess I was a Christian through birthright. My mom and dad raised me Catholic, and so that made me a Christian. And I jokingly, not jokingly, tell people that when I found Christ, Hang on a second, if you don't mind. I'm sorry if I make this about me. Bear with me a second, because I wrote it in the front of my Bible. I found Christ on January 28th, 1987. January 28th, that's my wife's birthday, 1987. I was born in 52. I lived 35 years thinking I was a Christian, and I wasn't. Then I heard the gospel. I ran to the altar. And that did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. I've never been the same. Never been the same. And I guess a question that I would ask all of you out there listening, maybe some of you aren't listening or whatever. can you point to that point in your life where you stepped into the phone booth, Clark Kent, and came out Superman?
Boom.
And if you can't point at that, does everybody out there, come on now, come on. Everybody out there know their birth date? You know your birth? Hey, Betty, you know, what was your birthday, Betty? When were you born? Betty, I'm asking you, when were you born? Vinny, when were you born? Somebody tell me, Vinny, when were you born, Vinny?
1969.
What day, Vinny?
The 3rd of September.
3rd of September, 1969. You're just a puppy. Ray LeBlanc, when were you born, Ray?
December 17, 1977.
Boy, you're a puppy. 1977, right? Hey, Ray, when that comes around every year, do you celebrate that? Celebrate that? Hey, Mel, when were you born, Mel? You guys giving away your ages here. Must have a delay this morning. You get the point, don't you? Don Voss said 1082. Huh? Okay, let me ask you something. When were you born again?
That's when I was born again.
I was born after. Ray, that's math wasn't adding up in my head, you know? Okay. That math wasn't. Hey, folks. Can you point at a time when you were born again? And I would say, Spencer, this would be a good one. How many Americans claim to be born again Americans? How many Americans would complain? Christians, maybe. How many Christians are born again? Because I was raised Catholic. I wasn't born nothing. You understand? I had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. How many Christians claim to be born again? About 45%. This is Christians now. About 45% of U.S. adults claim to be born again Christians. Okay? At least they know what that term is. What's the evidence of being born again? What's the evidence of being born? What's the evidence of being born? I cry and I eat and I pee and I poop and we have a grandbaby, right? We have a little grandbaby. She's, I don't know, 6, 7 months. I'm sorry, Michelle. I don't, 6 or 7 months, right? And she's becoming a little human being every day because she was born. She's born. And so now she does all the things that human beings do. And I pray it someday she's going to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that was born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I say that you must be born again. And I run into people all the time. It's me of all people that he's a Christian. Are you, huh? Him? Yeah, I got born again. I'm born again. Barna Group defines a born-again Christian by specific beliefs, such as making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ and believing they will go to heaven through faith rather than just by self-description. So, Spencer, how many? 45%. What if 45% of the American population voted for one candidate? What if all the Christians, no one voted and voted for the same guy? When you go into the polling place, what makes you vote for a candidate? What's the number one issue for you when you walk into the polling place? I'm going to show you something here. Hang on. I'm asking a question for a reason. What's the number one reason? Well, I'll tell you what my number one reason is. Will they protect unborn babies? That's enough. If they will not protect unborn babies, I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I don't care. And so what percentage, find out here. Hang on. Spencer, what percentage of Christians voted Democrat? I don't think the Republican parties are the saints. Okay, relax. What percentage of Christians voted Democrat? (clears throat) 30% self-identified Christians. For example, 84% of Black Protestants vote Democrat. Do you understand what's the number one aborted ethnic group in America? The number one aborted ethnic group in America by percentage are Blacks. Blacks. African Americans, they call them. And look at that. 84% of Black Protestants vote for abortion. So, oh, no, Coach. No, they don't vote for abortion. Yes, they do. If they vote for a Democrat, they're voting for abortion. You with me? So these things matter, right? Look at Catholics. Catholics were the pro-life movement. Catholics were the pro-life movement. And they're split evenly. Divide and conquer. 52% of Catholics vote Republican and 52% vote Democrat. Protestants, oh, about 59% vote for Republicans. So, folks, 40% of Christians don't vote pro-life. Do you see this? 40%, at least 40% do not vote pro-life. Catholics, 50-50 pro-life. Because why? That's because they've muddied the issue on us. See, we muddied. Okay, hang on. I'm going to show you a couple things here. Whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Fake news, fake numbers, fake data. Could be true, Judd. Could all be true. But would you agree? How many Christians, come on now, you ready? How many Christians you know like you? I'm a Christian, but I'm not like him. He's radical. I don't know what happened to Betty. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, she's out there holding signs and talking about Jesus. I don't know what happened to Betty. I don't know what happened to Dave Allison. He used to be just the nicest guy. Now, all of a sudden, he's at school board meetings. City. I don't know what happened. Amen? Amen? I'm going to let you in here in a second. I got to show you a couple. I'm trying to get my computer to go here. Show you a couple things. How did such a Christian people become so unchristian in our politics? They call us the religious right. A religious right. What does it even mean? The religious right. Okay. Pull up number one. I'll open it up here. I promise you. I'm trying to make a point here. Listen to me. Stop sending me emails about the fact that a Christian can't support Trump. Stop sending me those emails. First of all, we know this. The Bible says that God raises up kings. Donald Trump is God's man. Sorry, that makes you mad. But I'm also going to tell you this. The fact that Donald Trump is God's man don't mean he's a Christian. Has Donald Trump ever been born again? I don't know. I would say no. And as a result, he has a form of godliness and denies the power thereof. Judah says 100%. Yes, you think he's been born again, Judah. Okay, cool. So look, you are who you hang with. You are who you hang with, okay? Pull up number one. Paula White, Trump's spiritual advisor. First of all, my spiritual advisor is a man. Did you hear me? My spiritual advisor is a man. That's a whole debate. Women are not supposed
to have, tell us why, Coach.
Women are not supposed to have authority over a man. It's very, very clear. Very, very clear. And God bless Paula White. I'm glad she's behind the scenes praying for him and all the impact that she's had in her lot in his life. God bless it. But I'm gonna tell you something. Play this.
Spiritual advisor Paula White called a heretic Jezebel. Let's get into this.
Paula White, a heretic, blaspheming Jezebel.
Freeze it. This is Trump's spiritual advisor. Hey, did any of you ever go to church where the pastor was lost and you didn't know it till later? You finally got born again and you realize he's a preacher, but he don't know the Lord. Huh? So Paula White is Trump's spiritual mentor. You become like your teacher with me. Keep going.
She cannot tell the truth. She's a word of faith fanatic. I heard her say, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me right now and told me that 10 people were going to give $100,000. I heard her say, there is not a bit of difference between me and Jesus Christ. I heard her say, I'm going to pray for people tonight, but I'm not going to pray for you till you lay an offering down here on the altar. She's a blasphemer, a heretic, a deceiver, an apostate.
Hang on. You don't have to agree with this. You don't have to agree with this, okay? But understand this. This is his spiritual mentor. Go ahead.
And that's who he chose to help him do his conferences. By the way, that's who your president chose to be his faith advisor. Some of you won't look at me now. That's who the president chose to give him advice on faith.
Why did hang? Freeze it. Why did he choose her? Why did he choose her? I'm not defending Trump. I'm explaining Trump. He grew up in a religious environment where the pastor was Norman Vincent Peale. Anybody know who Norman Vincent Peale was? What was the book that he wrote? Google that real quick. Norman Vincent Peale. What was the name of his book? Come on, Spence. Jump in there. Norman Vincent Peale. Probably a Freemason. You're right, Judah. Probably a Freemason. Norman Vincent Peale.
Was it Think and Grow Rich?
The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yep, that's right.
The Power of Positive Thinking was Trump's pastor. Hey, friend, come on. Hey, I'm not defending him. I'm going to ask you something. Did any of you ever sit in a cold, dead church and then get born again? Say, my God, what the hell was I thinking? What was I thinking? What if the only Christianity he knows, Trump knows, is Norman Vincent Peale and Paula White? You don't have to play anymore. You don't play anymore. I said I was going to open it up. I'm going to open it up here in a second. Here's what's going on. Plate number two, real quickly. Guy, I got a lot of stuff I was going to get into. Here's the truth, okay? The bottom 1% of Americans have destroyed America. Play. It's about 30 seconds. Play half of it. Go ahead.
Everyone always complains about the top 1% without realizing that on a day-to-day basis, it's actually the bottom 1% that are oppressing you more. The bottom 1% are the reason why you lock your doors and feel unsafe when you go outside. They're committing the majority of the violent crimes. The bottom 1% are the ones that require the most federal aid, which makes your taxes go up. The bottom 1% are the ones that exploit everyday systems, making it so much less convenient for you. The deodorant at your local convenience store is locked up because the bottom 1% are stealing it. If there is a line where there normally shouldn't be a line, chances are a person from the bottom 1% is causing some type of ruckus. In general, society has to cater towards the bottom 1% because they're the ones that are holding the rest of us back. If something is task or feels like it takes an unreasonable amount of time just to get to a simple solution, chances are it's because of them. And I'm not saying that we should show apathy or hatred towards the poor. On the contrary, I think that we should show them love and sympathy. The problem is that everyone has the courage to criticize the rich, and I'm not saying that's without reason, but it's the trend. Everyone's doing it. And no one has the courage to criticize the poor because that requires nuance and critical thinking. But most importantly, you look like the bad guy. And I'm not bootlicking the rich. I acknowledge that they're also oppressive. They have way too much political power, especially with big corporations. And just like poor people, they exploit systems and they raise our taxes. It's just that we blame 100% of our problems on rich people. But on a day-to-day basis, it's the poor people that are giving us headaches.
Wow.
You know okay. What?
Is that a boom? You're not allowed to criticize poor people, are you? Not allowed to. No. But all of our resources are being drained by rich people. No. Okay, one other thing. I got to throw this up here. Which one is it? Number three. And I want to credit Jim Harrison for this. I was listening to his show Saturday. Ask yourself this. Who's more on the offense? The Lord's team or the devil's team? Ultimate calendar of LGBT, whatever the hell that means, and Pride Awareness Day, folks. The LGBTQ group is spreading their gospel, actively evangelizing their gospel. Everywhere you go. Okay, here you go. Monthly calendar awareness calendar. The ultimate calendar of... Scroll down. Keep going. Okay, here we go. January. Alice Nickum's birthday. It's queer day. Reverend James Lewis Stoll's birthday, January 18th. Dolly Parton's birthday, July. She's very big in LGBT. Trans Prisoner Day of Action. Brazilian National Day of Transgender Visibility. And we have Blood Donor Month, No Name Calling Week, every third week of January. In February, we have anniversary of appointments for the first openly gay United States federal judge, National Black HIV Awareness Day, National Freedom to Marry Day, on Audre Lorde's birthday. Then we have Aromatic Spectrum Awareness Week after February 14th. March, we have Zero Discrimination Day, International Women's Day, Janet Mock's birthday, Bayard Rustin's birth, folks, on and Women's History Month, Bisexual Health Awareness Month, National LGBT Health Awareness Week, holidays, GLS and Day of Silence, National Youth HIV AIDS Awareness Day, National Transgender, folks, they are evangelizing us. They are evangelizing us. Day, boom, boom. Anything in May? Anything? I want to support homosexuality. What's going on in May here? Is there anything there we can do? Scroll up, Spencer. That's April. I'm done with April. Huh? International Family Equality Day. National Honor of LGBT Elders Day. International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. World AIDS Vaccine Day. Agenda Pride Day. Oh, let's get out of May. Get me into June. There's got to be something going on in June. Oh, Brandi Carlile's birthday. Don't even know what that is. HIV Long-Term Survivors Day. Pulse Night of Remembrance Day. World Refugee Day. Oh, really? First use of LGBT Pride Flag Day, June 25th. LBG Day, Equality Day, June 26th. On and on and on and on. We're being bombarded because the devil is a better evangelist than we are. Okay. That's it. And if you speak out against any of that stuff that they're trying to cram down your throat, you are the villain. I don't know if I'm making any sense today at all. I just want to, I guess kind of what I wanted to do here this morning, I didn't really get to it. is I want to salute those of you who've picked up the torch and are running with. I look at Ray, Craig, Adam started a freaking show. I'll get you in here in a minute. Huh? Dave Allison, Mel, Johnny, scroll on down. These people have all begun, and one way or another, begun to step out of their comfort zone and expand the gospel of the kingdom. Now, here's the great question. I'm going to ask Betty this. Hey, Betty, what kind of support are you getting from your local church?
Absolutely nothing.
Hey, Craig, what kind of support are you getting from your local church? He's not going to say anything because he's going to be, he's a nice guy. Huh? Huh? Hey, Ray, what kind of support are you getting from the local church there in Wisconsin?
Well, they got my back with a knife to it.
So they don't have Ray LeBlanc Day and Protect the Children Day and Stand Up for Righteousness Day and Natural Family. They don't have any of that stuff, right? They don't have any of that up there going on? No, because see, the devil is on assault. He is on the aggressive. As the old football coach would say, he's playing offense. And all we do is play defense. And they've pierced our front. Yeah. They've broken through our lines of defense. And even though 60% of the whatever it was in Congress are Christians, they ain't Christians. Not real ones. All right. I'm sorry. I've just rambled. But I feel like a freaking broken record. When are we going to stand up and push back and do something? Not we. I know Craig's doing it. I know Ray's doing it. I know Adam's doing it. I know Betty's doing it. I know. When are we going to stop being the freaks in Christianity? That's my question. Come on in, Craig.
Well, I didn't want to answer from your first. The last question I don't expect it. It's irrelevant to me. See, because the point is, okay, Jesus sent people out. He sent 72. He said, if they receive you, good. If they don't, you wipe your dust off the feet.
That's right. At least go.
So to go into the mentality with, gee, you know, I'm going to sell this vacuum cleaner because I'm going to knock on this person's door. You know, you're going to get very disappointed. You're going to get discouraged, right? It really has nothing. It has no bearing in my mindset at this point because
you expect I'm to not, be rejected.
I expect to do what the Lord asked me to do, and then I asked the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I'm doing it. Then you know, signs and wonders follow. So you're going to have to, you know, if you want a crew, you're going to have to get me a crew somehow. Amen. All right. Yep. I think that's called covenant thinking. Right? You're doing what you're supposed to do. Then God's supposed to be doing what he's supposed to do. And somehow his will is going to be done.
But Craig, they're not standing in line to help you. Are they, Craig?
Well, no. Right. And the thing is you'll get very disappointed if you're not into this mindset right now. So because that's where we are. But my initial hand,
you know, say that again. You broke up. Say it again.
I said, my hand was raised up when you're like, hey, Michelle says we need to go back out and do what we were doing 10, 15 years ago. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what's changed in Ohio over the last 10 to 15 years? Well, okay. You went out to a clinics or you're calling out unrighteousness, but let's just look specifically at issue number one, because that's what they called it right in Ohio, is it's a constitutional amendment in your state constitution.
That's
what's changed. Okay. Abortions were okay. At least back then it wasn't a constitutional amendment. I mean, that's what Fauci stood on, right? Constitutional Fifth Amendment. Yep. So to make it simple for people to understand is if we have enshrined abortion into our state's constitutional amendment, it doesn't really matter if you're Republican or Democrat. If you voted for issue one, how do you think God's going to bless this? Because I want to take you to this scripture. You know, that's when you just take the Bible and you say, okay, I got a question for you. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 49. Okay. It's a chapter about Jesus. I'm doing the New King James, right? Because that's what I got right in front of me. It starts out and says, listen, O coastlands, to me. And me's capitalized. So coastlands, well, that might be the United States too, right? Yep. Take heed, you peoples. The Lord's called me from the womb. So my question for you, Coach, is can you be born again if you're not born?
No.
Okay, so that we've established that. Okay. And he says, from the matrix of my mother's womb, he has made mention of my name. Mm. So you already had a name in the womb. Wow, that's pretty interesting. And he's made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. He's made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. He's talking about kids, right?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Craig, I've never seen this. Keep going. This is good.
Okay. If you literally read Isaiah 49, you're reading about Jesus Christ. Because this talks about getting praise and worship from people, okay? Yeah. And the Gentiles, okay? So you don't get worship if you're just a human being, all right? Because we're not worthy of that. Right. This is my point, okay? When we're going to... this is a one little bite of the elephant at a time. So when you have a conversation, why do we expect God to bless us? Now, I put in the 10 states, Coach, which have made abortion in their constitution amendment. That's in the chat. So what I would really encourage you to do is say, okay, let's put these 10 states over here and let's see how blessed they get over the next weeks, months, and years. Look who's running for your governor. Did you say it was a Christian man, right? A godly Christian man?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's part of the reason.
No, a Hindu. We have a Hindu. His name's Ramaswamy.
Yeah, you have a Prometheus, the AI data center right outside Columbus, right?
That's right.
You're really getting lots of blessings there, guys, in Ohio.
Yeah.
But, you know, Maryland's blessings really came really, really soon after we enshrined abortion in the state of Maryland. See, there's this bridge where our national anthem was made. It's called Fort McHenry Bridge. And there was this container ship called the Dolly that just kind of all of its lights went out and its steering mechanism, and it knocked it right down. And now the state of Maryland, which thought it was a $2 billion bill, is now a $7 billion bill and doesn't have the money to put the bridge back up. So we're getting lots of blessings right now.
Yeah, really good. Really are, right?
So, yeah, that's what's changed over the last 15 years over 10 states.
So you reap what you sow. Is that what you're saying, Craig? I think that's what you're saying.
You reap what you sow, and you need to step back and evaluate and say, if we're going to basically do like Herod did, he did infanticide. Remember when he heard about Jesus? He came back and he says, okay, everybody that's 2 years and younger, you got to kill them. So basically, we're just doing the same thing that Herod. We're just doing the same thing that Herod did. Sometimes we're doing it before they come out of the womb. Or like if you're in California, you can do it when they're at, and Maryland, you can do it when they're outside the womb.
That's awesome, man.
You can be like Herod.
Awesome. We are being like Herod, aren't we? Amen. Amen. And let me play something. I got to get it in there real quick. James, I'm coming right to you. I promise. Pull up number 5. Pastor James David Manning. I've told you yesterday, it's a Harlem. I know Pastor Manning. I've spoken at his church a long time ago, 15, 20 years ago. But are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Ask me if you would ever hear this in your church. Okay. Outlaw, A-T-L-A-H, Outlaw Church, Harlem, New York. Play it.
Listen, let me tell you something. You want to have sex with another man. You want to go inside of his lower intestines and pack whatever is in there. Pack his dung. Stack it all up by you pushing in there and pushing it. You want to do that? Knock yourself out, homie. You want to pack another man's doo-doo? That's your business. If you find delight in that, I find it abhorrent, but if packing another man's doo-doo brings you on, knock yourself out, bro. I just want to tell you, the Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. But anybody else with half a brain would understand there must be something wrong with you to want to go inside of another man's asshole and pack his dung. Don't that stuff get all over you? I mean, that's what is there. That's what that place is made for. How on earth can you elevate that against Pastor Manning preaching? you see where the world is?
Listen, do you see where the world is? Do you see where the world is? And the truth is, we are, what's the word I'm looking for? We're becoming the world. We're accepting what the world feeds us. We're not salt. We don't counterfight that stuff. We accept it. God loves everybody. And see, Pastor Manning's a pretty straight shooter, isn't he? Wonder if your pastor'd stand on the pulpit and say that. James, JT, come on in.
Yeah, guys, he's a pretty good guy. I mean, he ragged on Obama first.
Long-legged Mac Daddy. He called him the long-legged Mac Daddy.
You know, it's kind of hard to follow that, but I tell you what, when you start swatting at the devil, there's fiends coming. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yep.
There's a young lady, her name is Blandis Lynn something, and she was on a tarmac, Alaska Airlines, and she started preaching to the people on the airplane. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. You would think that she freaking shot at the president. Yep. I kind of deal with, a lot of Christian people that are saying, she just should shut up and not pay preachers. You know, I said, man, you got a packed place. You have an attentive audience. It is no guarantee that plane's going to, I mean, you're in a machine that man built. What an opportunity. And oh my goodness, you would think that this woman had destroyed. Yeah, you should pull up her video and they arrested her and threw her off the plane. So,
hey, you know what, JT? They need to arrest some people in church and throw them out of church. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. See, Christianity has become, I'm okay, you're okay. We have this mentality, well, they're just pre-saved. They're just not saved yet, Coach Dave. Oh, yeah? Okay, well, get them saved and then bring them in the house. Bring them in the house once they're saved. Please don't poison. Don't poison with it. Don't do that. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I just wanted to remind myself and you and everybody else that all throughout biblical history, starting with Jesus and the apostles, we are remnant people. So the Christians out there that look at us as freaks and that keep their mouths shut, maybe, just maybe, they're not part of the remnant, because the Bible tells us that the road that leads to salvation is very narrow, and few there be that find it. But amen. That's all.
Adam, when's your podcast? Where do people see it? Put it in the chat here. You've had some good ones. And who do you have coming up next?
Betty's coming on Friday. She's going to share her testimony.
Betty. Okay, put in the chat. Put in the chat, Adam. And we need to cross-pollinate and help each other. Huh? Hey, folks, come on. You think Joe Rogan and those guys, you think they got a big audience just because they're good? Or did somebody promote them? Look what Mel's got there on her website. She just threw up there. Liberty Action Network, supporting each other. Look at those ministries out there that we ought to be working together. Mel, thanks. You're all over it. Mel's all over it. By the way, Mel, who's now retired, has brought all of her creative managerial skills to serve the Lord. Isn't that something? She's busier now than she's ever been, I would think. Thanks, Mel. Where am I? I was going to show something. Was I going to show that? I got to show this, okay? Come on in, Dave Allison. I'll dig it out here.
Okay, I'll try to make it quick. Hey, Spencer, could you bring up 2 Timothy 3, 5 through 7?
Second Timothy 3:5-7. There you go, Dave.
So, Coach, here we go. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I wanted to start there, Coach. Before you became born again and you were a Catholic, did you consider yourself a Christian?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't know what that meant, but yeah.
So that you had a form of godliness.
Yes, I did. Right?
But you denied the power thereof to change your life, to conform you. And that's right. What we're seeing. And unfortunately, so many people, when they look at someone, the reason why people compare Donald Trump to Hitler is because Hitler told the people he was put there by God to restore their country back to greatness, right? And that's why they do that. And what did he feel that he had to do? He had to conquer a certain amount of people, and he had to annihilate the Jews, right? Yep. And so it's interesting how Christians have the same mentality thinking that Muslims are their enemy, so the best thing I can do is annihilate them. And people right now are cheering on. They would love nothing more than Donald Trump to nuke the whole Middle East. You know, just light them up, right? Turn that. I heard Christians say, turn that place into glass. And so that is the problem. So when I look at people, I realize they have a form of godliness, but they not deny the power thereof.
Amen.
And lastly, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
And so that's what when I look at someone, I compare them to the Word of God. That's the truth that I have to make any kind of determination of where the faith is at.
Dave, they tell us in church not to judge. How stupid are we? Don't judge good and evil. Dave, you're judgmental. You're not supposed to judge. Golly, how stupid are we? Thanks, Dave. Jack, then I got to show you something else. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, real quick, I got an email that surprised me a couple days ago from CNN. They're looking for some archives of some of the interviews we did with a guy that's one of the governor candidates. And when he did, he sent me a link to some of our old shows that I couldn't find. So it was really neat. And guess what I listened to? I listened to a Coach Dave interview that we did in 2014. And it was an evening because Mike Heath was going to be on with you, but he was too tired. The poor baby had to go to bed. But you've been consistent. This is we've been doing this consistently, and that's what makes a difference. You keep doing it. Some people come in, some people leave, some people are just going out and doing another thing. But we can do it consistently. Don't stop. Keep pushing.
Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Enough to what it says.
I'm gonna send you that link because you can go down there and see a lot of the things that were going on and the number of times that you were on just in that couple of years. It was kind of fun.
I've been pretty consistent, haven't I, Jack? I've been pretty consistent. Thanks, Jack. Send that to me. I'd love to see it. Okay, folks, I want to show you something here. This is what we're up against. Look. Bob Dylan wrote a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." By the way, get number four ready for me, Spencer. Number four. You got to serve somebody. Folks, some serve money. Some serve the Lord. Some serve themselves. You serve somebody. Ultimately, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. Who are you serving? With your life, who are you serving? Family? You? What? Huh? So I just want to make you aware that the media is of their father, the devil. And the works of their father, they will do. Okay? Watch this montage on COVID. Go ahead.
On Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth. You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think you are a threat, or you are selfish, or you are a COVID denier, and you definitely haven't been vaccinated.
You don't wear a mask.
What does this have? Are you vaccinated?
I am triple.
So why are you wearing a mask?
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists. Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research. Makes you think of that cartoon I saw on the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Republicans are giving their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists. Do that.
Let's listen to the scientists. That phrase, do your own research, is popping up a lot in conversations about coronavirus and about COVID vaccines. Doing your own research, it seems so innocent, but it can have serious consequences. Renee, what are the roots of this phrase? I feel like I used to hear it around QAnon craziness.
Chase somebody over a mask. Chasing this lady over a
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
We can watch the experts, but we shouldn't be listening to Trump, a non-medical professional.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right around about a lot of things, and he's a steep learning curve in global health.
And we're really seeing just how important it is to follow science.
Yes, yes, exactly. And we need to listen to scientists.
The idea that people are questioning the science behind the vaccine.
The science checks out. Even if you don't believe in the science, you think you're tough enough and you're healthy enough and you're young enough, the scientists were right all along. Eventually, the science catches up with you. Are we doing more harm than good by questioning the science behind J&J?
Trust that vaccine.
Trust the experts. Listen to the medical experts. Trust the experts. If you don't understand the science, you don't know what you're fighting. Just let the experts speak. So maybe you should just shut up right now.
You don't want to take advice from your golf buddy or from your aunt. You want to listen to the scientists.
Can we all stop saying, I need to do my own research? You see the ultimate effects of what happens when you don't listen to the scientists.
This isn't about being scared. This is about scaring us straight.
Science, science, and science. Only listen to the scientist.
If we follow science, imagine. Instead of staying locked up in their rooms, they're able to hug their grandchildren.
This isn't about freedom. It's about freedom for your neighbors.
You can give each other a hug as long as everyone is fully vaccinated.
Listen to the scientists like the rest of us.
We have to listen to the scientists.
We'll listen to the scientists.
Every scientist, every expert, listen to the experts.
Listen to the science because the science works.
Very much.
Yeah. Trust science.
President Trump wrote on Twitter.
Trust the science. Trust the science. Come on, Craig.
Hey, have Spencer look up alchemy, alchemy in the occult. All right. There's a guy that was a pretty big alchemist, right? Boy, I had him on the tip of my tongue. Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley. Yes. Aleister Crowley was a great alchemist, all right? Look at what alchemy and science and how it's related. Maybe you can read that, Coach.
Alchemy and the occult sciences were historically grouped as systematic studies of hidden natural forces, blending experimental practice with spiritual philosophy. While classical alchemy's literal pursuit of transmutation and the philosopher's stone evolved into modern chemistry, its symbolic language was adopted by 19th century's occultists to represent spiritual enlightenment and inner transformation. Boom. It's the devil. It's the devil. Let me get George in here. Go ahead, George.
I was going to say with that video, someone needs to update it. And every time they say something, they need to have Fauci going, I plead the fifth.
Now, listen, are these guys accomplices? Are they accomplices, folks?
100%.
They're 100% accomplices in anyone who took the jab and had adverse effects. There are people who took the jab that didn't die, but they have had all kinds of adverse effects from it. And why? Because, folks, when you remove the Lord, who's the expert? Who's the expert? When you remove the King of Kings, the author and finisher of our faith, when you remove the creator of all things, who's king? And so what do we have right now in America? That no kings movement? Meaning basically this, they don't want anybody telling them what to do. No kings. There is a king. And his name is Jesus. Johnny, wrap us up quickly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I would argue the fact that those who are in 100% who optically took the shot that are on the inside, that shot is not the COVID shot that they took.
They didn't take the real one. They no way. You guys really think that any of the presidents, you think those guys in the Senate took the jab? Come on. Come on. You're smarter than that. Joanne, what do you think?
I think Biden did. He was speaking clearly, and then clearly he wasn't.
Maybe that's true. That would explain a lot, wouldn't it? He lost his mind somewhere along the line, right? Somewhere along the line. So, okay, say, Coach, what was today's show about? I don't know. I don't know. Wake the hell up. George, quickly.
The sad part about it is people have lost their ability to discern.
That's right. Hey, George, starting in the pulpit.
See you 100%. 100%.
See you tomorrow.